Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to dive in today to Paul's letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, a passage that we were given at Mass on this past Monday morning. And there's just so much there that we can learn from St. Paul that applies directly to our lives today. Paul teaches us how to walk through really difficult circumstances in life. He talks about enduring and persevering through difficulties and trials. He sees it as, he's got the right set of expectations. He sees it as the normal Christian life. He's not destabilized or knocked off the track along the way. He hasn't given into discouragement. He's not quitting. He's not having a pity party. He's not camping out around his fears and sense of lack of fairness, whatever it is. He knows he's living the very life Jesus himself lived in so many ways, and that Jesus promised, essentially, Jesus said, he prophesied, would happen in the life of those who follow him, that his disciples would live with the hardships that are part of this fallen world. He said, in this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Jesus knew that all of history until he comes in again in glory and establishes the kingdom of God, this is a battlefield, this earth. It's not, despite our efforts to make it as comfortable and as cozy and as entertaining and as fun and the rest of it as we try to make it, we cannot escape its hardships. Now, we try to escape its hardships through the distractions, through the entertainment, through comfort and consumption and acquisition and things of that nature. We've tried to find many ways of escaping the difficulties. But at the end of the day, Paul's showing us something here that's part of the Christian mind. It's a Christian understanding, a Christian take on reality, that we were made not just to settle for distractions or to try to escape trials and difficulties through some kind of secondary means, but we're meant to find our purpose, our meaning, our peace, our strength, to have hearts filled with hope and confidence, out of which flows a life of love that is the result of being united with God, united with Christ in faith. This is the life that we were made for, and the only one that will ultimately satisfy us, despite the fool's gold that we're sold all the time in this world. You know, everybody, we all want to sit down with the person who's super rich and say, how did you get super rich? I want to be super rich. Or you sit down with somebody who's got tons of possessions. Hey, how can I get what you have? Or somebody who's lived, you know, this big adventurous life. I want to live that adventure. You know, some of that stuff, it's not, you know, essentially wrong. I'm not pointing it out that way, but we rarely sit down with the saint and say, hey, how do I live like you? Teach me. Teach me how to walk in your footsteps. Well, part of it is we don't know who to turn to exactly, but at the same time, we don't know where they are. But at the same time, we're not so sure we want to live that way. That's not a life we want to live on a daily basis. We want to get to the same end the saint is getting to, but we don't want to get that serious about it. We don't want to get that radical about it, because that will mean, like the saint, I'm going to live a radically countercultural way, which is a nonconformist way, which is living under the lordship of Jesus in a total way, which inevitably, and the apostles lived this out, many of the saints live it out, we end up becoming a target of the world, enemy of the world, and where the whole issue of friendship with the world, living in the world but not of the world, begins to surface in our own lives. We have to make some serious decisions about it. So here's Paul, as we've described. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, I don't want to review everything I've done throughout the week, but you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can download them on whatever device you'd like. Make sure you could also, you know, get our app, our Renewal Ministries app, which gives you immediate access to all of our programming and all the stuff we've produced. I think you'll be glad you did, to strengthen you, because look, everybody needs strength these days. I mean, throughout history, it's going to be that way, but we're living through an objectively really difficult time. a battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, which is intensifying. And so Paul is living through, as he described it, afflictions, hardships, constraints, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, vigils, fasts, difficult stuff. And then he goes on to say, by purity and knowledge, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in that life in the Spirit, he said, we also live in unfeigned love. It's real, it's authentic, we're not faking it. It's genuine from the heart and in truthful speech. Think about how much healing Christians could bring to this crazy culture we're living in right now, a culture of division and hostility and anger and frustration, if what we brought was patience, kindness, we're living in purity toward one another, and with authentic love and truthful speech. Now, there's some rare commodities today in our public culture, but this is what Christian people are meant to be. You're the light of the world. I just feel sometimes like Jesus saying to me, Peter, are you going to live differently or not? Are you going to get caught up in the rage of the moment? Are you going to spend your time, every moment you get, to tune into the next big political battle that's going on or the next big thing that's happening in the culture and get caught up in the energy and the constant talk, which is mostly useless? I mean, literally, at the end of each day, you could take 5 minutes on a news site or something and get all the information of the day that's necessary, pretty much, 5 to 10 to 15 minutes. But it's very easy to get caught up into the narrative of the world. And then the narrative's the world's solution to the crisis and the pain and the struggle is to escape. And then the world's just going to keep serving up more escapes. Go to your Facebook page, 100 times in a day, or Twitter or whatever it is, Instagram constantly, medicate yourself, entertain yourself, whatever. This is the world we live in. And so Jesus says, be careful. I'm calling you to live in the world, but don't live of the world. Don't chase after the fool's gold that it's being served up, but remember who you are. Remember the gold that you've been given. You're living through trial, and now's the time to not run from the faith. Now's not the time to fall into a pit of discouragement or doubt. Now's the time to exercise faith and hope, which help produce endurance. And faith gets purified, it gets stronger, and it allows us to see God more clearly. And the more we see the Lord, the more we live under the, as Paul says here, how does he do this? He does this in the power of the Holy Spirit. With weapons of righteousness at the right and the left, through glory and dishonor. So Paul's saying weapons of righteousness, other places he talks about it. So it could be like the weapon of the word of God in his right hand, the sword of the Spirit, where he receives the words of Jesus and the teaching of God's word, and it becomes an offensive weapon against the lies. He said, we live in the truth, we speak the truth, and the other hand is a shield, putting up that shield of faith to protect you from the lies. And so then Paul goes on to list, he said, we have weapons of righteousness at the right and at the left, through glory and dishonor. So he's talking about moments where he sees the glory of God, or he's even recognized and encouraged for what he's doing, but also dishonor. People try to dishonor him in different ways. Insults and praise. He knows both. How do you handle insults? How do you handle dishonor? People try to dishonor you in some way. Do we react in kind? That is, not in kindness, but in the same spirit, and attack people back? It's one of the things about our president sometimes that I struggle with. I'm not trying to make a political statement. I'm just talking about ways in which sometimes he responds to criticism. He's so sensitive to it, and it's worth praying for him that he can let that go and to live differently, to model a different way to respond to it. We're treated as deceivers, yet we're truthful. Treated as deceivers, as unrecognized, yet acknowledged. Dying, but behold, we live. Chastised, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet enriching many, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. If you just read the description of Paul's, what sounds like Paul's normal life, I think most of us say, well, who would want that? I don't want to live that way. Plus, he doesn't have the stuff everybody wants. He doesn't have the possessions and the money and the influence and the power and the adulation and the glory and the greatness that the world wants to throw at you. Paul says, having nothing, yet possessing everything. He knows in Christ he has everything, the pearl of great price, the great treasure. And so he'll say to us, for example, I mean, this is where he gets his strength to live through this, is through the power of God, equipped by the Holy Spirit. And he knows who he is. He knows what God has done for him. He knows the treasure that he's been given in Christ. So he'll say, for example, in the first chapter of Ephesians, he describes it this way. He'll say, in you also, he's talking about those who have first hoped in Christ. He's encouraging and he's identifying and he's naming the grace and the calling that those who've been baptized, converted, repented, had come into the body of Christ. He said, you are the first who've hoped in Christ. That is to have confidence in God and the destiny. God's work in you, his hands on your life. He's with you now in a way he's never been with you before. You have new power now, a new capacity working in you, and you live in confidence in that. Paul says that confidence produces and hope helps produce that confidence that I know where my life is going. I know who has my life. I know the value of my life. And he said, in him also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. So here's the weapon of righteousness, the word of truth. God's word is true. Friends, there's a lot of lies. There's a lot of deception. There's a lot of fool's gold and false narratives out there that we need to be very discerning about and don't get caught up into. But we need to lay hold of the truth, who's first of all a person, Jesus, but the truth of his word and what he communicates to us. And he said, so, and the gospel of our salvation is that good news, Paul said. The good news of God's story and his story revealed in his son, Jesus. And he says, you've believed in him. He's talking about faith. Faith, hope, and love are the ground of everything. It's the foundation, the infused virtues, the theological virtues that we receive at baptism and confirmation to help direct us toward the Lord, direct us toward heaven, direct us properly toward God and neighbor. How are we meant to be ordered to each? In love. Love is patient. Love is kind. That kind of thing, right? And then he goes on to say, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You were sealed, you were marked, you were stamped, and your baptism is the place you were sealed. You were captured by Christ. He laid hold of you. He branded you. He calls you his own, and the Spirit of God is a down payment of the radically total full life of heaven that we're all going to someday possess. This is the down payment of your full inheritance. Paul knows that. He knows where his life is going, so he can endure anything in this life. He knows life is short, and he knows he already possesses the treasure. That's why he can say, I possess all things, even though people say that I'm poor. Friends, I hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks very candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. It's an inspiring booklet I think you will be encouraged and strengthened by. If you'd like it, you could call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or you can subscribe to our podcast.